With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. You're with Hervoy Morich on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right. Our two, we got a great guest coming up, someone I haven't talked to for a couple of years, Xander del Riata, a disabled veteran of the U.S. Marine Corps, who's got a great website, full-spectrum-dominance.com. He's been on Coast to Coast AM, I think, or was it Caravan to Midnight for years. But first, more news. There's been a call for Iranian forces to close the Strait of Hormuz. If they did that, that would have huge repercussions. The report goes on to say, set against the backdrop of continuing internal disquiet in Iran, Iranian media outlets loyal to the regime call for Iranian forces to close the Strait of Hormuz in response to what it cites as foreign intervention. The closure of the strait is a popular call in Iran, especially in times of turbulence. However, in reality, Iran processes little capability to realize this, and further still, this would be significantly against Iranian strategic interests. So it's a powerful weapon, but there's a lot of blowback for Iran if they did something like that, a bit of a kamikaze element there. And as I mentioned earlier, Iran is now wanting to replicate its sort of strategic China deal with India. The kings of the East are coming together as that. There's a Bible prophecy, I think, somewhere in Revelation that talks about the Euphrates River drying up. I think 2015 New York Times has a headline talking about how the Euphrates River is literally drying up. And the prophecy talks about the kings of the East coming together. China, India, Iran, Syria, Russia. Definitely something to keep an eye out on. And UK, Britain's high readiness aircraft carrier HMS Queen Elizabeth will sail today for the Arctic Circle to support a secret multinational mission, the UK Defense Journal has learned. I guess it's not so secret anymore, but the vessel is being deployed to act as an emergency landing option should a classified cargo aircraft require its usage. So there is a classified cargo aircraft flying around somewhere, which may require the use of the Queen Elizabeth aircraft carrier. That is interesting. Couple that with what we were discussing earlier. All of these movements, Medvedev meeting with Xi Jinping, Putin meeting with Lukashenko, Zelensky headed, meeting with Biden. Something is afoot, and I really don't think it's anything good for us plebs. Just more death and destruction, economic collapse, and war. But hey, that's life, Just eat, drink, and be merry. For tomorrow we die. What can I tell you? Just eat, drink, be merry. There's nothing new under the sun. Ecclesiastes is one of my favorite books of the Old Testament. What else is interesting? Suddenly, everyone is hunting for alternatives to the U.S. dollar. Tired of a too strong and newly weaponized greenback, some of the world's biggest economies are exploring ways to circumvent the U.S. currency. Smaller nations, including at least a dozen in Asia, are also experimenting with de-dollarization, something I've been talking about for a while. And corporates around the world are selling an unprecedented portion of their debt in local currencies, wary of further dollar strength. That's the multipolar trend. And, G. Edward Griffin talks about this in his classic book written in 1990s, updated, I think, a couple of times. I think it's on its fifth edition, how at some point, the world will get tired of dollars and send them all back to America, and that would then import the inflation back into the United States. So looks like we're headed in that direction. And some analysts talk about gold. Gold prices could surge to $4,000 per ounce in 2023 as interest rate hikes and recession fears keep markets volatile, said Managing Director and Chief Investment Officer of Swiss Asia Capital. Of course, I mean, you take a lot of these projections with a grain of salt, but still, there's something to it, I think, and it's never bad to buy, to get some gold and silver. Meanwhile, this massive winter storm in the U.S., I'm reading now, has left 1.5 million people without power so far. So that's not good. 1.5 million without power. And the plane crashed in Santa Monica that killed a former mayor, I think. I wonder what he knew. Oh, he was pretty old, though, 95 years old. He was mayor of Santa Monica in the 1960s. So, maybe just bad luck. And all right, reminder that there are many ways you can listen to us. You can go to tntradio.live on your desktop, tablet, laptop. I don't think anyone is listening through their Neuralink just yet. We also have the TNT Radio app for smartphones, for your surveillance device. You can download and listen live through your surveillance device. And you can also listen live through our TNT Radio YouTube, Rumble, and Odyssey. We've got all of the bases covered here on TNT Radio.
There's a lot going on, so it's important to stay informed and up to date.
Get ready, because here we go.
At the top, 30 minutes past, and when it breaks.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Considering that Christmas is just around the corner now, it's imminent with all the crazy and bad news that we've had to hear about this year. Can't we please just get some good news for once? Let's cross our fingers and hope so. TNT Radio news producer Adam Ruckus-Clark is joining me once again here with some important updates. But does he come bearing gifts or lumps of coal?
I come with both. That's fair, I suppose. Real quick, let's get the big one. And by big, I do mean $1.8 trillion big one out of the way here. So yeah, the bad news is, folks, the U.S. House of Representatives passed the omnibus package one day after a bipartisan Senate vote sent the bill to the lower chamber. The House vote was officially in at 216 to 201. All but two Democrats voted yes. One voted present and one voted no. From what I'm hearing, the one who said no was AOC. I need to confirm that. Moving forward, good old House Speaker. Oh, yeah, the Republicans. So 200 Republicans voted no, 9 voted yes, and 4 did not vote. So if the 9 who voted yes had voted no instead, this could have been stalled for a little bit at least. Well, here we are. House Speaker Pelosi spoke in favor of the bill, saying on the House floor before the vote, it would, quote, keep from shutting government down and meet the needs of the American people, end quote. She noted specific provisions, including an increase in funding for people impacted by the September 11, 2001 terror attacks and $45 billion, of course, in additional funding to our good friends over in Ukraine. Congress was supposed to pass 12 months of funding for fiscal year 2023 by the end of September, but instead resorted to several short-term spending packages as party leaders negotiated a larger package, which ended up being the incredibly huge 4,000-something page-long omnibus. Some House Republicans had urged counterparts in the Senate to block the mammoth bill, noting that Republicans are poised to take control of the lower chamber in January 2023, after flipping about a dozen seats in the midterm election. But again, yet here we are. Let's hear what some people had to say about it real quick. Representative James McGovern, Democrat, chairman of the House Rules Committee, committee said the package, quote, offers tremendous investments in American families and workers while strengthening democracy at home and abroad, end quote. Among the provisions, McGovern highlighted $1 billion for Puerto Rico's electrical grid, record funding for Medicaid, and money to address the water crisis in Jackson, Mississippi. He added later, quote, I'm not thrilled about everything in this package. Quite frankly, the endless increases in defense spending year after year, I find that to be appalling, end quote. Yeah, obviously not everybody got what they wanted here. Biden cheered the passage of the omnibus and said he would sign it as soon as it got to his desk. I've been waiting for updates. I'm not sure yet. Sorry, folks, if he did or he didn't. But once it hits his desk, it's a done deal. He will sign it. He portrayed the bill as containing provisions each party wanted, saying, quote, neither side got everything it wanted in this agreement. That's what happens in the negotiation, he said in a statement, adding that the bill was, quote, further proof that Republicans and Democrats can come together to deliver for the American people. And I'm looking forward to continued bipartisan progress in the year ahead, end quote. So that's the bad news. Good news, folks. Check this out. I was shocked and happy to see this. The Pentagon has paused all actions related to the COVID-19 vaccine mandate. So, yeah, this is good stuff. So President Biden signed a bill, the Fiscal 2023 National Defense Authorization Act, which may or may not be a good thing in and of itself. However, included in that it was an end to the mandate. The NDAA, quoting here, Pentagon spokesperson, the NDAA requires that not later than 30 days after enactment, the Secretary of Defense rescind the mandate that members of the armed forces be vaccinated against COVID-19. As a result, the department will rescind the mandate and is currently in the process of developing further guidance. During this process, we are pausing all actions related to the COVID-19 vaccine mandate. Yes, I'll definitely call that a win, and I win and I'll take it. The next brief bit of news I'll also take as a win. This could be a fun gift for everybody. The Internal Revenue Service today announced that it would delay a rule that would have required tens of millions of Americans who received payments of at least $600 to report their earnings following widespread confusion and angst about the new requirements. So, yes. Well, we dodged a bullet on this one, folks, in case you missed it. Under the 2021 American Rescue Plan, anyone who earned $600 via platforms such as PayPal, Etsy, Venmo, Airbnb, eBay, and others would receive a 1099-K tax form from those services. Previously, those payment apps were required to send users the tax form if their gross income exceeded $20,000 or if they had 200 separate transactions in a calendar year. However, everybody got a little freaked out when they heard about this. So what did they say? Quote, the IRS and Treasury heard a number of concerns regarding the timeline of implementation of these changes under the American Rescue Plan to help smooth the transition and ensure clarity for taxpayers, tax professionals, and industry. The IRS will delay implementation of the 1099-K changes, end quote. Hallelujah. What do you think, Havori? Two pieces of good news. Did I do good? Merry Christmas.
Yeah. We'll take what we can. But I do like Rand Paul's commentary on all of this. He says, Congress did what it always does, though, make little deals and get enough Republicans to join the Democrats in continuing their massive spending spree. He says, ask yourself if the leadership of both parties is all that much different on spending or endless wars, from bloated bureaucracy to Ukraine aid, foreign aid to not funding our border security. It's hard to tell the difference. And he goes on to tweet some of the silly spending, like Broward County, Florida, spent $140 million in COVID-19 relief funds to construct a luxury hotel and spa. Wisconsin school district spent $1.6 million in COVID relief to upgrade turf fields. Let me see what are some of the more sillier ones. Like USAID spent $210 million on basic education programs in the country of Jordan. I mean, seriously, what's that? I think is absurd. Census Bureau spent $2.5 million on Super Bowl ads, and it goes on and on. NIH, over 3 million to watch hamsters fight on steroids. I don't know about you, ruckus, but I know in 2023 I'm going to be penny pinching, giving the way things are going.
Oh yeah, dude, I've been saving every penny I make, dude, like straight up. I actually need to pick up a little bit more on some gold and silver. I heard you talking about that earlier. Here, I'm going to share some other comments. This one from Representative Elise Stefanik, Republican from New York, one of the no votes, said in a statement after the vote that, quote, due to Democrats' reckless spending and failed policies, every family is experiencing the most expensive Christmas in history. Our southern border is in chaos and energy costs are skyrocketing. Instead of addressing these crises, lame duck Democrats doubled down on their radical wish list that spends nearly $2 trillion taxpayer dollars to expand their radical agenda, end quote. Yep, that about sums it up. So, Merry Christmas, America. Eek.
Yeah, I should have meant peso pinching. I'll be peso pinching. But, yeah, I applaud your attempt to give us a bit of good news amongst all of this craziness. And I just, yeah, I would encourage people just to sort of tune out a bit of this, of the conspiracy stuff, and just enjoy things, food, drink, friends, family, the weather. You know, even though it is cold, you can enjoy the snow, you know, especially for people like me, where I live in a country where there is usually no snow. So I can still appreciate the cold and the snow. So we'll catch up with you, next week on Tuesday. Ruckus, because we got Monday off. We get a 3-day, I think in Australia they call it Boxing Day. Or is it Boxing? Yeah. So have a great Christmas.
Yeah. And Merry Christmas to everyone out there. That's right. In just an hour and a half or so, TNT is going to nothing but replays until Mike Ryan's show coming up next week. So God bless everybody. Thanks, Rory. Talk to you then.
All right. And I'll be right back after this break.
You should hear what Joe Hoft is talking about.
They started releasing these Twitter threads, basically short stories about what happened with Twitter, in particular related to the 2020 election, Hunter Biden laptop, and they've uncovered this whole scheme between the deep state, the FBI, and Twitter. They were sharing information. They had a special channel that they were doing that through. And we do know that it was very, very corrupt. And what we found so far is that Twitter did indeed censor and ban and suspend individuals. Predominantly, if not always, maybe 90-some percent, was always against conservatives, was always political, was always against the American-loving right. And so these anti-American, hateful people that hate America and hate everybody that loves America, these people that aligned themselves, I guess, would align themselves with the communist Chinese, they were in charge of the DOJ. They'd taken over the DOJ and they'd taken over the Democratic Party. And together they worked to censor conservatives.
Joe Hoft on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Public school is the instituted agency of socialism throughout every community.
The U.S. government has no authority to have any role in education.
We're going to lose our very republic if we don't stop this indoctrination of children in government schools.
What happened to us in China can't happen here.
Have one kind of education and then call it equity.
It's about outcomes. It's about trying to force us all to be equal.
I think we're going to have a race civil war in our hands.
We are exposing kids to pornography as early as kindergarten. Parents just don't know.
No, not anymore. Not anymore. Parents need to wake up. They don't have the interests of your child at heart.
Truth and lies in American education at salemnow.com.
Donald Trump says Joe Biden and Hunter Biden are criminals, and mainstream media are criminals for not reporting it. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk,
TNT Radio.
Reunited after a couple years, I'm joined by Xander Dal Riata of FSD. That's full-spectrum-dominance.com. You want to bookmark that website. It's a great resource. He's a disabled veteran of the U.S. Marine Corps. And the FSD is to provide a focus outlet during his recuperation from severe injuries sustained while serving during the global war on terror. He currently works in the field of consumer and business IT solutions, specializing in security application methods. FSD is best described as an open source counter doctrine, dynamism, this is a mouthful, docking station, OSCDD for information, which isn't widely followed. FSD has grown to reach readers from all over the world, focusing on, but not limited to, economic and technology related news. Welcome to TNT Radio, Xander.
Hey, buddy. It's been a long time. Thank you very much for having me on your program and Feliz Navidad.
Gracias. And yeah, it's been a few years. You're in from the cold, to use spy speak. How goes it?
Well, I had to step away for quite a few years from the Citizen Journalism League due to career responsibilities and some life changes. And since I've been gone, quite a lot has happened around the world affecting the lives of all human beings, no matter where they come from or where they might be. And lately, the last few months, there's been some further changes career speaking wise, and I am now able to re-enter the fray, if you will. And I am here and I am recompiling a lot of the great resources that have been on FSD since the beginning. Since 2009 is when I started it. And of course, you know, from the past, it was quite active for a long time. And I'm going to do the best I can going forward when I can. And I hope that readers will find it to be a useful, truthful, insightful platform to help them prepare for the things that are going to be on the horizon.
Well, it's good to see you again on the guerrilla information warfare front. And I mean, just to give listeners a bit of a bitter scope of yourself, I think for many years in the past, you were a guest on, was it just Caravan to Midnight with John B. Wells, or as well as Coast to Coast to AM?
Yeah, I was on the John B. Wells program often, other programs around the world, podcasts, radio stations such as TNT as well, have a pretty large network globally, a lot of great allies and brothers and sisters in arms such as yourself. And a lot of the things that I've discussed in the past are things that listeners requested from hosts to hear about, which are obviously featured on my website when I'm able to update it. The obscure topics which readers will see on that website are things that are not actually from any sort of esoteric source or any sort of esoteric foundation. They're things I look for with my methodology, which are present, that are there for anyone to see and read. However, they're buried. They're buried in mainstream sources. They're buried in scientific sources, technology sources. And being a person that's been working in the technology field for a long, 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 long time and seeing the inner workings of said technology, we're entering the impasse as a civilization and as a species here. The amount of information warfare that is being levied against the free peoples of the West, as well as the East and those seeking freedom, has reached an intensity that in the comments and opinions of very, very elderly people who I communicate with, they've said they've never seen it as bad as it is now. And of course, you, my friend, have been going over these things for quite a while. And I'm sure you would agree. The amount of propaganda is really off the scales. And that's why the topics on my website are things that help to move people's minds away from the frantic conversations and helps them see other stuff that is affecting them strategically, is affecting them economically, is affecting them socially. It's all cataloged there. They just need to take the time to read and understand and do their research, just like with any other source, come to their own opinions. But I heard you mention you're going to be saving your pesos next year, right?
Yeah.
And with that said, the economic climate is accelerating in a negative manner. It's going warp speed, not to use the Donald's terminology from his time of, how should we put it, playing with things that God has unintended man to play with, all right? But this acceleration, the economic downturn, is frightening a lot of people. And it's hurting sectors of the economy, which historically have been shielded from ups and downs of recessions. Surprisingly, in Silicon Valley, where I've been integrated for a while, a lot of high-paid tech workers are being laid off, and they're not being able to find new opportunities. And this is a new reality for them, such as the new reality came to be for most a few years ago when the communist Chinese government decides to purposefully, or an element of it accidentally, releases this little pathogen that's caused quite a nuisance for us.
If you want to just hold that thought regarding the pathogen, we're going to have to jump to a news break. We'll be right back.
Now, I've got news for you.
Give me the news.
Give it to me.
Give me the news.
TNT Radio News.
News flash.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. North Korea keeps launching missiles in what's been a record barrage of tests this year amid a nuclear sanctions standoff with the U.S. Russian President Vladimir Putin presided over the launch of a major new Siberian gas field on Wednesday to help drive a planned surge in supply to China. A long list of prominent figures tied to the Chinese Communist Party have died amid a surge in Omicron sweeping China, after the regime abruptly loosened its years-long draconian COVID-19 restrictions.
While you're enjoying your holidays, we'll be here with the news when you need it.
Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
On today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And we are back with Zander Del Riata, Bookmarker's website, full-spectrum-dominance.com, FSD. And you started to talk about COVID. And I was living in Kazakhstan at the time. I don't recall when we last spoke, if it was on my podcast while I was in Kazakhstan. I think it was. I went there in 2017. But when COVID hit, I never classified it as a pandemic. I don't think it was dangerous, whatever COVID was, but it was used as a totalitarian device. But I reached out very early in, you know, January 2020 to talk to the author of the Bioweapons Act, Francis Boyle, and you know, he is of the opinion that it's an offensive biological warfare weapon. You know, it was being worked on by both the U.S. and the Chinese. And, you know, that interview went viral in January of 2020, 300,000 views, would have hit a million. I'm sure it's been seen by millions because it was reposted so many times that I saw. And then the Associated Press with NATO, the Atlantic Council, did a hit piece on us. And then I got my Patreon taken down. The DHS banned me from PayPal in April. So quite an interesting couple years, but what sort of, I call it COVID-1984. They're ushering in this biosecurity, biomedical totalitarian state. I just, a day or two ago, I had on the former UN Assistant Secretary General Ramesh Thakur, who was saying that there we had the national security state, which became the administrative state, which became the surveillance state, and now they're all being rolled up into one biosecurity state that they're trying to implement globally. So what's sort of your take on what in the heck has been going on the past couple of years?
Yeah, all of these occurrences that have come to pass are quite naughty indeed. And my train of thought before the break regarding the economic things that we were getting into and the stuff with SARS-CoV-19 and the point where we're at now, is that, yes, you're definitely onto something, how all of these elements are interconnected. And it's just a further advancement of what was implemented at the end of the Cold War, how you had this humongous apparatus that was created by the Soviet Union, by the United States, by Western Europe, with NATO and the Five Eyes nations. to point at each other. And then that all comes tumbling down. The party's over. Well, now they just turned it all inwards on their own domestic populations. And this is continuing to advance. Of course, I'm sure all your listeners know about the Patriot Act and the stuff that's happened since 9/11, yada, yada, yada. And it's accelerating. It's accelerating because of the powers that be, although there are different factions within their world that agree and also yet disagree, they need to make up for lost time. And with the pandemic, as the narrative would be, I agree with you, my friend, that the danger at the time, and I've explained this to many people, was not so much on the scale affecting every type of person with their different races and genetic makeups from a biological standpoint. The danger was how we saw societies react to it, how we saw governments react and are still reacted to it. It's always people collectively that cause their own suffering, regardless of an outside stimuli. And next year, it's going to get into more unknown territory. And the economics of that is the same it's been with the plan to destroy the middle class. There's always this discussion about what is the future of the developing world? What is the future of the so-called first world that it has been since the end of the Second World War? Things are converging. The middle class is being dominated and is being decreased from both ends, those by the aristocracies and those by the ballooning impoverished populations of the earth. This century is going to be the most important century in the history of our species. The crescendo that we're entering with the technology, with the misuse of this technology. Some of these things your listeners will see on my website right now from this week with new updates. Things are always abused, right? And we have to stay vigilant for ourselves, but also for each other. And I'm not sure if you've had this discussion with your friends and family, but in my circles, before what went down in 2020, society was becoming more and more insular. People were more and more withdrawn, right? We've lost so many of our traditional values and human relationships. And this was just catapulted and just annihilated all those factors completely since 2020. You have corporations, they're cutting back, they're liquidating assets. They can't have workers cooperating as they used to cooperate. And the economic crop rotation, and that term I just use, is something that I discussed many times in the past between the East and the West. The pendulum has been swinging, and it's almost done getting to its highest elevated point back to the East. Civilization began in Mesopotamia, and then, of course, you had the rise of civilizations in the West, and then the rise of civilizations in the East throughout time, and it goes back and forth about who's going to be dominant. With that said, this reliance on remote connectivity, everybody always elevates and rejoices with the convenience of it. But that convenience has brought a lot of problems. As a person that's been in cybersecurity for quite a while, doing a lot of things that would not help you sleep at night if you knew about, okay? I want listeners to understand that you need to step back when you're absorbing information, when you're dissecting information, and segment things out, okay? You never want to have a single point of failure. And we have this inundation of stimuli, and especially around Christmas time and New Year's and everything, we need to disconnect a little bit, I would recommend that this conversation we're having this evening before Sunday, before Christmas Day, is not only a conversation to help listeners be more aware of the other things they should be known about, but it should be a conversation to kind of give them a point to know, all right, I've made it to the end of this level, and I'll take a break before I start playing the next level. And in the United States, with this, how many synonyms can we use for the asinine agendas and behaviors of those in Washington, D.C.? Yesterday, they brought in this character to speak to the Congress. And these fools, with their greed, stand up there and applaud. There's always two sides to a story, but in the case of the world, well, there's maybe infinite sides, or close to 8 billion sides with our 8 billion people being on the planet. This is a dangerous time, a dangerous century. And I had a lot of requests to return to report the news and have interviews with amazing hosts such as yourself. And, you know, that has to be done sparingly, because there's too much repetition. There's too much regurgitation of the headlines, right? Go the opposite way, I recommend, from a philosophical standpoint, where the herd is galloping. Go the opposite way. Kind of loop around. Get to the destination before they do. But it takes courage and commitment in order to take that first step, right? But as we're getting closer to New Year's, I'm very curious to see next quarter the financial results, the numbers on consumer Christmas sales and all those things. What are the travel numbers, air, sea, land, business-wise, recreation-wise? It's going to be quite low, but they're going to cook the books, right? They're going to manipulate the numbers on that. It's this constant lie. And the thing about lying is that those that do it have to keep doing it to stay ahead of their lies. And eventually, it's all just going to come crashing down in different places at different times and different intensities. Now, earlier this year, I was in Europe. And in Europe, I saw many, many more restrictions that were still in place. Now restrictions are starting to come back, these said restrictions, which has been affecting everybody since 2020. And I don't know how much longer people are going to take. What are your forecasts on that?
You mean the biosecurity restrictions?
Yeah, that's the thing, is that everything is coined in the construct of security. It's all for your own good. We're here to protect you. Wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to protect yourself.
I just wanted to add to what you were saying. I mean, that was just my feeling. I mean, this is my last TNT broadcast until Tuesday. I recorded my last Geopolitics and Empire podcast this morning, and I was just going to do just what you said. I'm like, that's it. I'm tuning out. I'm going to go relax, spend time with friends and family. And I was just during the break advising people to do just that, because there are just too many people. I mean, someone in my Telegram chat was talking about like 9/11 and Judy Wood and the thermonuclear, you know, theory. And I'm like, come on, man. It's been 20 years. I don't got time to talk about Judy Wood and thermonuclear explosion of 9/11. It's like we're already on 9/11 2.0. Forget about 9/11, you know, it's COVID 9/11 now. And the third, you know, the next 9/11 is right up around the bend. And so it's just like, chill, people. And and the restrictions, I did notice in Mexico already, where I live, two states have brought back mandatory masks already. In the U.S., you know, some schools are bringing them back now. And so, Yeah, it's quite unfortunate. It seems like they're reeling this stuff back in. And earlier you were talking about what I called neo-techno feudalism. You know, they want to bring us back to the Middle Ages, but with this technological veneer. People like Joel Kotkin and others have talked about how they want to wipe out the middle class globally, and it's just going to be us, the plebs, and the, you know, Cobra Commander Klaus Schwabs, the aristocrats. And so, Xander, we're going to have to jump to our break and continue this on the other side. I recommend everyone bookmark Xander's website, FSD, that's full-spectrum-dominance.com. We'll be right back on TNT Radio.
In a stunning betrayal not just of conservatives and conservative principles, but of all Americans, 18 craven Republicans voted in favor of the $1.85 trillion obscenity known as the Omnibus Spending Bill, which will fund the government through the 2023 fiscal year. Why these Republicans think it's a good idea to take the power to decide the budget away from the incoming 118th Congress is yet to be seen. Roy Blunt of Missouri, John Boozman and Tom Cotton of Arkansas, Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, Susan Collins of Maine, John Cornyn of Texas, Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma, and Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, Jerry Moran of Kansas, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Rob Portman of Ohio, Mitt Romney of Utah, Mike Rounds of South Dakota, John Thune of South Dakota, Richard Shelby in Alabama, Roger Wicker in Mississippi, Todd Young in Indiana. All voted in favor of this. Many of them will not be in the next Congress. Three Republicans didn't vote, John Barrasso of Wyoming, Richard Burr of North Carolina, and Kevin Cramer of North Dakota, but big props to Tommy Tuberville in Alabama, Marco Rubio in Florida, Chuck Grassley in Iowa, and Cindy Hines-Smith in Minnesota for changing their votes from yay to nay. For MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Band-Aid has been ripped off. 30% of parents now question the entire vaccine schedule.
Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
We're back on our final segment with Xander Dalriata of full-spectrum-dominance.com. You'll want to bookmark that website. Great resource. And Xander, we could talk for hours, but sort of the direction that you were going with this economic collapse, this biosecurity regime, a lot of people talk about Great Reset today, and just sort of, you know, to go further along, what do you see is the game here, the end game? There's also the element, you mentioned the East versus West, the multipolar world, and it's hard to square this circle where we see there is a real conflict between East and West, geopolitically, you know, in terms of the national space, but then we see China and Russia applying the biosecurity measures, the QR codes in Kazakhstan, where I used to live. You know, you had to use the Aishuk app, the QR code to buy a coffee, to enter a coffee shop, to go into the mall. You had to prove you were vaccinated. And so just your further thoughts on what's going on here.
Yeah, it's really fascinating how there are so many differences, yet there are so many similarities, as you just described. That the playbook, the template, seems to be universal amongst all regimes. And no one should ever be fooled by the titles of whatever their government description might be. They're all regimes. They're all there to stand in your way, not to allow you to ascend and achieve the things that so many of us can achieve if we really did apply ourselves. In the coming year, in the year after that, and the year after that, this universal theme of control, it goes in stages. And the next stage of it is going to, in many ways, be dependent on geopolitical action points. Some of these primary geopolitical action points can only occur when another happens beforehand. And what I'm alluding to is this ongoing possibility that the Israelis will decide to conduct a naval and airstrike on Iran's nuclear installations. This has been a discussion which has evaded the not only the mainstream conversation in news and current events commentary and all these things. It's also evaded the citizen journalism, the independent media circles also. I'm one of the few out there that's always reminded everyone about that possibility. It is going to be a disaster if that occurs. Strategically, the Israelis, with their aerospace and naval capabilities, cannot obviously wreck the entire nation of Iran and the Persian civilization. They cannot necessarily inflict enough damage in a first strike to dislodge the Islamic government of Iran. There are discussions with those that have intimate knowledge of Israel's capabilities and Israel's policies and goals, that if they are to conduct this in the next 24 to 36 months, that it will be from a standpoint of inflicting damage to create chaos. Chaos with the Straits of Hormuz, as which has been discussed since the 1990s, things to do with proxy associating groups closer to Israel and Syria and Iraq and stuff to retaliate Lebanon. Through that chaos, their government, their inner workings of high society would try and trigger the intervention and involvement of not only the United States, but also the involvement of the Russian Federation, India, China, obviously European Union, Great Britain, to take that opportunity with such intervention, diplomatic intervention, economic intervention, humanitarian aid intervention. That's all the smokescreen for finishing off the government of Iran, because Iran is one of the few nations of the world still that is not integrated with the actuaries to the central banking cartels in London and New York City and Frankfurt and all that. That has to happen first before the bigger stuff with China down the line can occur. And I know there's been this common thing since I've been back in the circles the last couple of months about the discussion of, well, is China going to invade Formosa, or are they going to take Taiwan? Well, they're much more patient. They've seen the mistakes of the West. They'll wait for us to continue to devolve. They'll wait for us to be internally crippled within our day-to-day affairs of more inner strife between communities, to then create a naval blockade of the island and then force the government in Taipei to capitulate, which is already a, let's not play games, childish games. If China decides, okay, we're going to take it, there are a lot of decision makers with power in Taiwan. They've already taken the money. They'll stand down. They'll flee the island. They'll hand it over. That's what's going to occur. So that's the bigger stuff later on, coming years, coming decades. But the stuff with Iran, this has been delayed. It's been a pesky Lego that everyone keeps stepping on in the West. They want to resolve that. And the Saudis, many years ago, before I took a break from all these things, the Saudis were building a major pipeline in the South going, initially the plan was to go through Yemen, but they changed that to go through Oman. You see this big war that's been raging on in Yemen that the United States and France and Great Britain keeps financing with the military industrial complex. They wanted that pipeline to go to the Indian Ocean to get the petrol, all the petroleum offloaded there to bypass the Straits of Hormuz. This project has been delayed, and part of that war in Yemen is due to that project. And Iran knows this. The Israelis know this. Egypt, Turkey, they all know this. Okay. But the Westerners, no. We're too busy consuming garbage digital materials, right? That's what we need to get away from that. We need to get back to gardening and getting married and having a family and raising a family. And we need to be thinking locally again. Well, with that said, the wild card is how far are the powers that be, or how far are they going to take things in Ukraine against the Rus? This is yet to be seen, but Vladimir Putin and the Kremlin, he's surrounded by many that are much more eager to enact reprisals, which he's trying to keep that at bay. Every nation has its monsters. This is something, unfortunately, as a species, we just kind of say, well, if it's not affecting me, oh, well, it is what it is. Let them have their under-the-table corruption. But now that corruption, all of those little scheming manners, it's affecting everybody. And there's a lot of people I know in Europe that they turn their heat on maybe like every 72 hours for a while and then turn it back off because they can't afford the price of gas. There's been a lot of announcements actually in the past 48 hours in Europe as well as in Japan to turn back on nuclear power plants. I find that fascinating. Everyone's got this notion we can all be lovey-dovey and just have these grand ideas of we're going to save the earth. And I got news for everybody. The earth's been here a hell of a long time, and it's going to be here a hell of a long time more when we're all gone. It doesn't need us to save it.
Yeah, we need to save ourselves. And I'd also reference to what you're talking about. I think it was in 2020. I also interviewed again Francis Boyle, and we talked specifically on Iran. And he's echoing what you're talking about, that there's this plan to go after Iran at some point, and then Russia and China are the end game of this, what he calls unlimited imperialism. And you made me think of the book Pentagon's New Map by Thomas Barney. He's got a map where he calls it the non-integrating gap. So all of these countries that are not plugged into this globalist, Bretton Woods sort of system, Venezuela, Syria, Yemen, as you mentioned, and Iran. And I think that this globalist empire needs these countries to plug in before then they could advance with world government. And yeah, it's just we're really dancing on the edges here, we're 2 minutes to midnight. Any final thoughts then?
I just want everybody to make the best of the time that they have left to prepare. These things go in phases, right? They'll go quickly, then they'll slow down, then they'll go quickly again. It's like being on a treadmill. Someone's running, they might run at high intensity and then walk for a little bit and then do it again at intervals. Well, same thing concerning self-awareness, self-preparedness. We need to get ourselves individually and as a collective species back in tune with the universe around us. This is lacking. There's over 400 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy, and 98% of those stars have planets. Just take that, chew on it. All these little things that bother us on a daily basis, they're actually relevant. There's just this wonder around us. Go out there and be wondrous. And thank you for having me again, buddy. It was a great conversation.
You don't disappoint, Xander Dalriata. Hopefully you join us again soon on TNT. The website is full-spectrum-dominance.com. Do bookmark it, and have a Merry Christmas, Xander. Happy New Year. And I'll be back on Tuesday. We're taking a couple of days break here on TNT. Tune out. Enjoy. Eat, drink, be merry. You know, for tomorrow we die. There's nothing new under the sun. All right. Merry Christmas, everyone.